It's Shushan, it's Motzai Shushan Purim, and it's within 30 days of Pesach. As a matter of fact, Shmuel Kamenetsky brings down that some people have the minig, in case you want to put a little damper over, in case you want to put a little damper on the Purim Suda, some people actually learn Hilchus, learn Mishnayos Psachim at the Purim Suda. So in case you want to make sure everyone's on a serious note. But
I can record it.
That's
very nice. So the where does this come from to start the halachas of Pesach already right after Purim? Because the Gemara says that it's a halacha. 30 days before Yom Tov, you start learning the halachas.
Just for Pesach, right?
Well, just for Pesach, and we learn that to Sukkot also. Shavuos is not so many halachas, so it doesn't apply. Why? Because the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the halachas of Pesach Sheni when he was at Pesach Rishon. Right? What happened? The Klai Yisrael was going to bring a carbon Pesach. Happened on Pesach Rishon, and then people came and said they were tameh, they can't bring it. So he said, "I'll tell you the halacha," and he told them the halacha. So on Pesach Rishon, he told them what's the halacha for Pesach Sheni, which is a month later. So you see that the halachas of Pesach already start. You start talking about the halachas of Pesach 30 days before the Chag. So Mamela, now we're holding Tezvav, Tezayin, Adar, and it's within 30 days of Tezvav Nisan. So we start learning the halachas. Now, there's a couple halachas that you see that once you're within 30 days of Pesach, you're already mechuyev to start thinking about Pesach. It means whether or not, probably, even if you wouldn't be thinking of Pesach, your wife would probably remind you to think about Pesach. But Lamaisa, there's a halacha, for example, if you're going away, and you're not going to sell your place, but you're going away. The halacha is, if you go away within 30 days of Pesach, you have to make your bedikah already. Because 30 days of Pesach already is close enough to the time of Pesach that you got to worry about Pesach. Mishnah Berura in Siman Tav Mem He, Sif Katan Ches, says that he's talking about if someone doesn't want to keep their chametz around until Pesach, okay, until Erev Pesach, to burn it. So he says you're really allowed to burn it before, and you'll still fulfill the mitzvah of getting rid of chametz. And his lashon is afilu hachem iskayim mitzvahs tashbisu shemishloishim yom ve'elach koydem haPesach chal olav chayvas beer. So that means that you fulfill the mitzvah of beer chametz up to 30 days before. So, Lamashal, last night when we were going through my house, all the shalachmanos that we got from a lot of people, and there were some things there that weren't going to be good for us for whatever reason. So we have a lot of designer stuff. Some we give away and do other things with it. So I always say we give away, and l'shem, we're having in mind the mitzvah of tashbisu, of getting rid of chametz before Pesach. So you can fulfill the mitzvah of getting rid of chametz. You already fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu if it's within 30 days.
You didn't have in mind that you
So Shmuel Kamenetsky brings down, and if you eat chametz also, and you have in mind that you're doing it to get rid of chametz, so
easy to have in mind
within 30 days before. Well, it is kind of an easy thing to have in mind when you know you're having like pasta for the Latin for about 7 days in a row. You realize.
Doesn't the Gemara discuss specifically the times, you know, up to, in other words, like half the day, the chatzot, and afterwards, like it discusses in particular the times of when to do beer. So he's saying that, that you don't have to actually...
There's a time that Chazal established to do the mitzvah.
Right.
By. That's true. I'm saying, Lamaisa, you fulfill the mitzvah anytime before also.
And you don't have to do any sort of action on that day?
No, you can't make a bracha. Right. You won't make a bracha on it. The actual maisa of it is supposed to be done the time that was prescribed, which is Pesach morning after the bedikah. And you can't get out of that because you have to make a bedikah the night before and then burn it. But I'm just saying, if you have extra chametz lying around and you get rid of it, you are fulfilling the, that inyan of tashbisu. So that's kedai. Okay, so that's just a by means of introduction, that's why now is already we start talking about Hilchos Pesach, 30 days before the. For the Chag. Oh. Now, the next thing, which I guess I would say the first thing, which people start doing 30 days before the Yom Tov, Lamaisa, we're going to talk about the Seder and everything, but people don't have a Seder now. People have a Seder on Pesach. What people start doing now is cleaning for Pesach and preparing for the Bedikah, getting rid of the Chametz in their house. So, this is a particularly kind of scary type of topic. People get very worked up about this, and I may have spoken about it last year. Last year I gave a shiur to the ladies about this, and I don't know if I ended up giving a shiur to the men, but I think it's important to go over. And
I remember you gave a shiur. You were very, very lenient.
Oh, I was lenient. Okay, so you mind hearing? Well, I don't know if much has changed. I got hold of some other shiurim, but I'm, you know, we'll see what happens.
I remember that.
The basis of this shiur is from Pesachim given by Rav Scheinberg. Zatzal. Last year I gave it the shiur actually a couple days before I had gone to the hospital, but since then he was nifter, so a lot of the shiur is based on his pesachim. The basic theory of the shiur of the pesachim is that we'll see that there are different levels of bedikas chametz that one has to do. The thing which gets people very, very nervous and people get worked up about and it takes them a long time to do is what we call bedikah for pirurim. Bedikah for pirurim means checking and cleaning your whole house from crumbs, from little teeny, minuscule little things. And, you know, so you sit there and you take some spray into the corner and shoot the little corner into the spray, and then you take a toothpick, squeeze in over there, pull it out, and it's dirt, and you know kind of all proud of yourself because maybe it's chametz, you know, excited. So people can get carried away with checking and cleaning for crumbs, and we have to see, is that necessary, is it not necessary? Okay, so we're gonna break it down as follows. The halacha is midaraisa, so you're not allowed to own any chametz on Pesach. You're not allowed to own chametz. Now to get rid of, in order to ensure that you're not over that iser, you could really just do a bittel, just annul, negate all the chametz and say I'm nullifying it. It should be like hefker, should be nothing. So you're not going to be over the iser midaraisa. But Chazal said afal pikein, even though that's the case, you still, they enacted a chayvas bedika to check your house and clean it, make sure that there's no chametz left. Why did they do that? So there are two reasons given. But let's just go with the reason given that we're afraid that you're going to come to eat the chametz. So if you don't check your house, we're afraid you're going to come to eat the chametz. Let's just go with that for simplicity purposes. So what that means is, bottom line, is that we only really have to check because we're going to do a bittel anyway. So the main thing that we're checking for is any edible chametz. Means any chametz that we're going to come to eat on Pesach. That's what you have to check for. If that's the case, so it comes out that crumbs are not edible chametz. Because a person that sees a crumb on the floor is not going to pick it up and eat it. Okay? So a crumb is not an edible piece of chametz, and therefore, theoretically, there should be no problem with leaving crumbs around your house on Pesach. It's a Beferisha Gemara, and it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that it says Pirurim, which is crumbs, but Batli Me'aylea, they're bottle. They're no, even if you wouldn't be Mevatalit, they're bottle, because they have no chashivas. They're not important at all. So a crumb is not something that you have to check for. Okay? Now, for example, I myself asked Rav Scheinberg, I think I said this story last year, but I myself asked Rav Scheinberg, I was a bachur in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and I was going back to my house for Pesach, and I was leaving my, I wasn't going to sell any chametz, and I was leaving my clothing in the closet.
In Israel.
In Israel. So before I left, I had to do bedika on whatever I had. So I was checking my pockets. So I asked Rav Scheinberg, I went to his house, and I said, do I have to check my cuffs? The cuffs in my pants. Because there's all sorts of stuff in there. So, do I have to check the cuffs from my pants? So he said, for what? So I said, for chametz. So he said, there's no chametz in there. So I said, what do you mean? But there's crumbs. He said, whatever's in there, you can't. Whatever's in there, you're not going to eat. It's not like a pretzel. You find the pretzel in your pocket, and you can eat that. That has chashivas. So you should check the pockets. We'll go into this in detail. But the cuffs of your pants, there's nothing more than crumbs. And pirur in our bottle. So crumbs you don't have to check for. That was what Rav Scheinberg told me then. And now his shir became famous. But this is what Psaki told me. So the idea is like this. The basic bedika that you have to do in the entirety of your house is, and when I say bedika, I really don't just mean the bedika, I really mean the whole cleaning process, because the bedika is, you know, at the end, is after everything. But what we have to make sure that we have to clean our house is not just from, is not from crumbs. You don't have to worry so much about crumbs. It's about any edible piece of chametz. So the place going to talk about it, they say it's like a Cheerio sized piece. A piece which, you know, a significant piece that you'll pick up and eat, and you can eat it. You know, if you find a pretzel or a Cheerio even on a floor, on the floor, pick it up, you would eat it maybe, you know. But a crumb you may not eat. You're not going to eat. So something which is like a piece of a pretzel or a Cheerio sized piece of chametz, which has some chashivas, that's what you have to look for. Okay? So that's generally. However, where does the bdika for crumbs come in? There's the bdika for crumbs is because, like I said, anything that you may come to eat on Pesach that you do have to check for. So if you're in any place in the house where if there would be a crumb there, it could end up that you would eat it, you would eat it. Now how are you going to eat it if it's a crumb? Like I just said, you don't pick up a crumb. But the problem is that if it's a round place that you put food, the crumb could fall into your food.
Crumbs in a book on a table.
So a crumb in a place that other Pesach food is exposed to, that is a problem. Because that crumb could fall into your food and then you would end up eating that crumb. Okay? So the bottom line is that we really do the bedikah for anything that you would eat. Now, so for example, let's just go practical for a second, and then we'll break it down. But if you have your sock drawer in your bedroom, now if you don't have little kids, then it's probably a makom she'ain machnisim bo chametz. You probably don't even bring chametz there at all. May not need a bedikah bechlal. You don't have to worry about it. But if you have kids, so then anything goes. So for all you know, in the middle of breakfast, they decided to get your socks and all right. So there may be crumbs there, but as my wife said, she's not planning on eating socks over Pesach, right? So there's no problem. You're not gonna end up eating anything from that drawer. So all you have to do is,
you can always come up with a scenario. You know, you're getting the kids dressed, and you know, they're running around the place. You bring them to the kitchen table. You put the sock down on the table, and the crumb is stuck in the sock.
Okay, I hear, but it's not a place. What? it's not preparing. It's not a place that you prepare food. I don't think you have to worry about that. So, in a typical bedroom, basically, you have to eat, you know, you could open eat, again. I'm talking about if you have kids that go in there. If you don't have kids, and you know yourself, if you're careful not to bring food into that room, then you don't have to check it at all. But if you do bring food, if there are kids around, so you should open the drawer. You know, pretty much take a look and close it. You could, maybe it's easier to take everything out, put it back in. You don't even have to do that. Just you have to look for a sizable piece of chametz. If there would be a cookie-sized piece in your drawer, you would find it. You don't have to search with a flashlight. You know, you would take a look and you would see it. But you surely don't have to vacuum it out and all these type of things. So you just take it out, look at it. Okay? Then the whole bed area under the beds. Maybe there are crumbs there, but there's definitely, it's on the floor. You're not going to eat it. So really, if you take a good sweeping, you know, if it's, you know, you sweep under the bed, that's really enough, basically. So a typical bedroom really shouldn't take more than, I don't know, up to an hour maximum to clean it properly for Pesach. It doesn't have to be a whole, you know, week event to clean out a room, a typical room, a bedroom. You basically clean it properly like you would for Shabbos, you know, clean it very nicely. Maybe a little better, you know, check the drawers a little bit, look in the closet, and sweep the floor, and then you pretty much ensured that you don't have a Cheerio-sized piece of chametz in that room. So that's okay. Okay? Again, let's say the laundry room. Again, you're not preparing food in the laundry room. So and anyway, you don't have to pick up the big machines. So all you have to do is go in there, sweep, and you're finished. Look at, you know, there's nothing else you have to do. You don't have to go into every corner and stick your toothpick in there, toothbrush, and get to all the corners. Okay. Let's say kids' rooms. So kids' rooms, there probably is chametz there. But again, you only have to worry about sizable pieces. So you can look at the bookcases, brush off the bookcases. Let's say they have shelves in there. Look through the shelves, and look through their drawers, and that should be fine. Now, the place where things start getting a little bit more more sticky are places where you are going to interact with over Pesach with food. Okay, so this is where there's probably a little bit of a distinction between, let's say, different types of bags. Okay, a bag. So, you know, you don't want, let's say, a kid's backpack, so they don't have school over Pesach, so they're not going to be using it over Pesach, but there's definitely chametz in there. Over the year, they put in chametz. So if they're not going to be using it over Pesach, so then you just have to open it and look at it, make sure that it wasn't, there's no leftover cookie there from, you know, from Hanukkah, and you're fine. But if, let's say, you're going to go on a family trip and they're going to, you know, go hiking and they're going to use that backpack to put in their snacks and stuff, then it's already more of a problem, because then there's real crumbs in there. And you're going to be using it over Pesach, that's already a problem. You're going to put their water bottle in there and then you're going to be drinking from it. Then already you have to really vacuum it out properly, make sure there's no crumbs. Because again, that falls into the category of something that you are going to be using for food. So I think that pretty much you could split everything up into these two categories. Something which is a room which is not used in food preparation, or you're not going to be using it over Pesach at all, it's not a problem really. You don't have to do such a major bedikah. You have to just check for quality size pieces.
So it's a practical example. When people go crazy over their cars and their vacuuming and every little, you know, thing under the seat and going wild, unless there's big pieces there, even some small crumbs is fine, right?
Right. Now the thing is, in a car, I think that anyone has experience with kids in a car, I think you could really, like, you know, you could probably fill a bag of pretzels with the amount of pretzels you find in there. So between seats in a car, you could almost find real pieces of chametz there. So, now, in a chlami, in a place where it's not going to be shaykh to reach, you're probably right.
But if there's something the size of a Cheerio, and and let's say for whatever reason you miss it, you can't get to it. As long as somebody's not eating it, it's okay. It's still, you're still.
Well, you did the bittul. You did the bittul, and it's less than a kazayis anyway. But I'm just saying, there's a din derabanan, you have to do bedika. So I'm just saying, what are you checking for? You have to know what you're checking for in order to understand what the how long and what type of process you should be making. So what I'm saying is, what you're checking for is that size piece in a regular, around the house, in a regular place. What you're checking for, what you're cleaning for, is a sizable piece, which is about a Cheerio size piece.
Let's
now,
let's say you didn't find it.
If you didn't find it, so you fulfilled. You did the mitzvah de'oraisa because you did bittul. You did the mitzvah de'rabanan because you checked for the piece. Now, whether you found it or not, you're not over anything. Just when you find it, you should burn it or get rid of it right away. You shouldn't make sure you don't, you know, you don't leave it around.
Or you can leave it there. Or you should take it.
No, don't leave it there. No, once you find it, you gotta get rid of it. If it's yomtiv, you should flush it down the toilet, and if it's on Pesach, you should burn it. Someone brought me something last Pesach, a product, and they weren't sure what it was, and then we did research and it was very suspicious. It was a very suspicious type of product. It had an OU on it, and it was made out of breadcrumbs. And then it had like some sticker and pasted on it that it was kosher Pesach. And we called the OU, and the OU said they never heard of it. And this and that. It was very suspicious. The guy got really nervous. So he decided to burn it on my front lawn.
On your front lawn?
Yeah.
Wait another second.
He didn't want to wait another second.
If it's not Yom Tov, can you flush it down the toilet?
If it's on Yom Tov, you should flush it down the toilet. But not on Yom Tov, you should really chatchila burn it. But if you can't, so you should, you know. Now,
I assume you take it out of the wrap and then you flush it, or with the wrap you...
Depends if it's on your lawn.
Yeah, it depends whose house you're doing it in.
twice and then flush it.
What?
That's right. You sign wrap it twice and then flush it.
Yeah. A what?
Like a candy bar, wrap like you didn't see a candy bar. Push it or something. You find it on the book that you missed. A full candy bar.
If you can't, so get rid of it in the most efficient way possible. Out of your rishos.
I don't think I can if I was making.
Yeah, but out of your rishos can be like a designated.
No, that doesn't help anymore.
No, are we talking about? We're talking about before Pesach.
No, he's saying on Pesach you find it.
Pesach.
You know, like the kid that he's looking for the afikomen, and all of a sudden he comes back. Is Tati? Is this the afikomen? He's like, no, that's the last piece of chametz that we didn't find last night at the bedika. Right, so that happened. I was at a place one time that happened. That they made the bedika the night before. They only found 9 out of the 10 pieces, and the kid went to look for the afikomen and he found it.
He should have been looking hard enough as hard for the father would have given a prize to find the last piece like you did for that.
Okay. So now like this.
He's supposed to leave it and put a brand new prize.
That's if you can't burn it, but if you have a way of getting rid of it, you should. Yeah. Okay. So now, there is. I'm going to go through some more examples. So let's say some cabinets. Okay? Well, before we get to the kitchen, actually, let's still go through some other areas in the house. So the cars are a place that you're there over Yom Tif, and you're eating in the car, but you're not really touching, you know, the floors and all that. So basically, what you have to do is, also, you should be checking for sizable pieces, but in the car, really, there's no real way to do it. You have to vacuum and just put your hands and get the pieces. So I'll say that there's no real distinction necessarily. Now let's say, for example, the playroom, okay? So if you have a playroom with kids, so the toys, again, you're probably not going to be eating any of those toys. So as long as those toys, I saw in some svarim, they say that you should wash off all the toys and who knows what. But my mother-in-law, now some people do that. They wash off all the toys and everything. They go through every piece of Lego, you know, make sure that there's nothing got stuck onto it or whatever. whatever, or soak it for like 3 days in salt water and then boil it. You know. Now the MS is that it really depends. If you have a bucket of toys, and for all you know the kids were playing with it and they stuck in a cookie in there, so then it is kedai to look through it, make sure that there's no real pieces of chametz. But beyond that, you're not, because those toys are being kept in a limited area, you know, so you don't have to worry about the crumbs over there necessarily. Okay? Now if you have, let's say, like a tea set, like little kids, they have sets of toys that they use with real food. So what could end up happening is that the kids could take food over there and play with those things, and then the crumbs could really get mixed in with the food. Maybe that's better to not use over Pesach and put it away. But anything else, the regular toys, as long as you check the bins, you know, make sure that there's no real chametz in the bins and stuff like that. You take the bins, look through the shelving, make sure there's no real pieces of chametz, look through the bins, but you don't have to wipe down and clean through. This article here, Mamish says, I just had got this article, so he says over here, toys that will be used on Pesach should be cleaned with soapy water and checked. Yeah, but I don't really think that's true.
Toys for Pesach.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So like dishes and food, toys that are associated with food, that may be a good idea. But some toys, you're not eating chocolate covered Lego. I mean,
that's sparring, for example.
Oh, it's them. Fine. So now, what about sparring? Okay, so that's pretty much the same applies. Now, sparring is the same idea. Sparring, the most you're going to find in a sefer is crumbs. So in the car, you don't have to check for crumbs. The only thing is that the Vilna Goyin was machmer to check his sfarim. That's what it says. But if you look in the Vilna Goyin, so everyone quotes the Vilna Goyin, and they say, oh, the Vilna Goyin checked his sfarim. You see how machmer the Vilna Goyin was, that he checked even for little crumbs. But the emes is that if you look inside the sefer of the Vilna Goyin, it says there that he checked the sfarim that he used at the table on Pesach. So what that means is because again, what we're saying is, you bring your chumash to the table the whole year, parsha shmois, you eat it with challah. All of a sudden you're going to open that piece of chumash to read a pasuk from the Haggadah and the crumb is going to fall into your food. So the sfarim that you use on Pesach at the table should be checked. Now, how do you check a sefer? It's impossible. In Eretz Yisrael, if you go outside in Eretz Yisrael, and you find a lot of people, the Yerushalmis, they put their sfarim on the mirpeset, they leave it open, and the wind comes in and blows the pages and gets the crumbs off. But that's not really so efficient, because the maisa, you're worried about a crumb on any particular page, and there's no real way to check for it. So therefore, the only thing I would say is, instead of checking the sfarim, what you're better off with doing is just any sefer that you know that you've used with chametz during the year. Don't use it on Pesach, or at least don't bring it to the table. So the minig by many people is that on Pesach they don't learn at their table. They only learn on a shtender or on a separate table for svarim. They don't learn at all. They don't put any svarim from the whole year on their table. So that way you don't have to check the sefer, and even if there's crumbs, it's not going to go into your food because you keep it separate from your food. Okay, but again, it falls into this concept that the whole idea of checking for crumbs is kipshuta al pi halacha, is only in a place where it could come in contact with food. Okay, now again, so that's covering bedrooms, laundry room, playroom, and svarim. Now, what about like a living room? So a living room is a couch, living room, dining room. So a couch, very often you sit there on Pesach. You could stick your hand in between the cushions and, you know, drink a tea a couch where your mom is sitting in on Yom Tov, I would recommend. I think it's kedai to vacuum it out and check it properly for everything, because the art comes there. You never know where it's going to fall. It's in the middle of where you're eating, in the middle of where you're hanging out the whole Yom Tov. That you should probably check properly. The dining room chairs and table, the table should be covered anyway. So, you know, you're covering the table. The chairs, very often there is, there are crumbs there, and a crumb on a chair that you're using on Pesach, that already, I would say, falls into the category where it is coming in it is coming in contact with the areas where you're going to be eating. So the chair, I would be more, the dining room chairs and kitchen chairs, I would be more careful with. Now, moving into the kitchen, you have things like the telephone and knobs and stuff like that. All those things that are in the kitchen that you're cooking, and you know, you're holding the phone while you're cooking and stuff like that. So again, it's probably good to you know, make sure that stuff is clean, because a phone could have crumbs on it, and you could be holding the phone, it could get on your hands, and then you could be cooking with it. So there, you know, I would recommend cleaning it. Now, when it comes to the pantry, the cabinets in the kitchen. So you have two types of cabinets. The cabinets that you are not going to be putting in Pesach dishes in, okay? So regardless of whether you're selling it to a guy or not, even if you're not going to sell it to a guy, but all you have to do, if you're just, let's say, putting in your chametz dishes in there and that's it, all you have to do is, if you're selling it to a guy, so it depends. Some people have the minhag, they sell chametz gomor, some people don't. But basically, all you have to do is open it, look, and you're fine. Close it. You don't have to wipe it down or anything like that, because all you have to do is look for a sizable piece of chametz, an edible piece of chametz. Once you don't have that, you don't have to wipe it off at all. So the drawers, the cabinets where you're not going to be putting your Pesach dishes, you don't have to do anything really. You just have to look at it and close it. At that point, you don't even have to sell it to a guy. You just have to tape it off and say chametz. You don't have to sell it to a guy. You may want to or whatever, but you don't need to. However, the cabinets that you're going to be using for your Pesach dishes, that really has to be theoretically cleaned out very, very well, because theoretically speaking, a crumb could go onto a plate and then you could serve food on that. So anywhere over there already, you have to be worried about the crumbs. But the truth is that there's two ways to avoid that. One way is that you could spray with like Fantastic or any of that stuff. You could spray the corners where the crumbs tend to build up, and then you make it inedible. Once a crumb is inedible, you don't have to worry about it. Even if it will fall into your food, it doesn't matter.
Where is this again?
In like a cabinet. A cabinet that you're putting your Pesach dishes in. Okay? So, or a refrigerator. A cabinet or refrigerator where you're really storing the food. So, theoretically speaking, you should get rid of every crumb. But I'm saying the two ways you could avoid it, in one of two ways. Either you could spray it. So if you spray the corners, then you don't have to worry about really wiping it down. Well, about you know, getting in there. You spray the corners. Or the best thing is to cover it. You take some sort of, what's those things called? Contact paper, yeah. And you line it. And then you really don't have to clean underneath at all. So that way you avoid that, you avoid doing that. And the same goes for the fridge. So I think basically the klal advarim, if you have to sum up the klal advarim, is that anywhere in your house where it's unlikely you're going to be coming in contact with food, even though you're going to be there for Pesach and you're not selling that area to the guy, all you have to check for is sizable pieces of chametz, about a Cheerio sized piece, something that is edible. A crumb is not edible, you don't have to worry about it. So even if you bump into it, you see a crumb, you're not going to pick up and eat it. The only places in the house where you have to really be worried about the crumbs are those places where a crumb could, if it was there, would fall into your food. Okay? right? So, and that's what we discussed, different places. You know, a pocket, the truth is, a pocket of a suit that you're going to be wearing on Pesach. I mean, Alan said I was being makel, but on the pocket, I would say, a pocket that you're going to be wearing on Pesach, of a suit you're going to be wearing on Pesach, you really should shake out very, very well. Because
the dry clothes?
I don't know. What's the process of the dry clothes? Do they... If
bread will become toast.
I mean, no, because it's posher. I mean, you walk around in shul, you have your hands in your pockets, and there's a kiddush. Over there, it's very easy that a crumb could get stuck on your hand that you'll end up eating from. So a pocket, I would say, is kedai to shake out. Just turn out the pocket and shake it out. A shirt pocket, I would say, you don't have to as much. A shirt pocket, first of all, you don't put chametz in there anyway, during the year even. But a pocket in your pants, or a lady's purse that she's using, those places are bags that I would say, even though I'm trying to avoid having to check for crumbs, I think in those places it's good to check for crumbs. But Lamaisa, I think what we're able to accomplish with this is that part of the craziness is a little bit limited, because at least this way we know we only have to be crazy when it comes to the kitchen, pretty much. But anything beyond that, you really could just clean your house properly. Now, why is this important to know? It's important to know for two reasons. Because what happens is that people get so overwhelmed by, I have to go through my whole house with a toothpick and this type of mentality. So what happens is that they decide, you know what, forget it, I'm not going to bother making Pesach, and I'm just going to go away, and I'll sell the whole house to the guy, because enough of this, right? So what happens is people are so machmer that they end up being mekel. They end up not doing anything and saying, you know, I'll just sell the house to the guy. And if you sell the house to the guy, so you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, and you're not doing the preparations of the Yom Tov. If you do it this way, so really, even if you are going away for Pesach, but you could still fulfill the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, because if you just clean your whole house in the way we described, if you're not going to be there at all, so it means even the kitchen, you close up the cabinets, the whole house, all you have to do is sweep, you don't have to do anything else. So, you know, when people come and say, I want to sell my whole house, why do you want to sell the whole house? Well, I'm not going to be here for Yom Tov, and I don't want to even think about cleaning for Pesach. So the truth is, you could tell them, listen, it'll take you an hour and a half, just sweep the house and take a look through the outside of your cabinets, don't open up any drawers, and just sweep the house, and then you can make a bedika, and you don't have to sell the house to the guy. Why do you have to get rid of the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to make a bedika. Okay, so if you know the basic halacha, then you could decide, okay, this is the halacha, I'll decide then what I can do. I was at a Rav in Lakewood, and it was like 3 days before Pesach, and the guy comes and says, I'm selling the house. So he says, why are you selling the house for? I'm going away, and my wife doesn't even want to think about cleaning for Pesach. So he calls up the wife, the Rav calls up the wife, and says, you know, how long does it take you to clean for Shabbos, your house? I don't know, an hour. He says, okay, so clean your house the way you clean it for Pesach Shabbos, and then we don't have to sell the house to the guy. You can make a bedika. It's not so overwhelming if you just know the halacha. That's number one. Number two is that people are so tired by the time the Pesach comes along, which I think they'll be anyway, but if you could limit where you have to go overboard, then you'll know the halacha. Now, despite everything we're saying, there is a rush. The rush says, not a rush to do something. There's a rush.
Those right now.
Yeah. There is a rush. The rush says that Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, Klai Yisrael are holy people, and because of their Kedusha, they don't want to have anything to do with Chametz on Pesach. So what they did was, they scrubbed their walls to make sure that there was no extra chametz that got stuck on the walls leading up to Pesach. So what that means is that if someone does go crazy, it's not like Bal Tashchis. It's not that they're totally off. If they do want to do that, there is an Indian of Yisrael Kedoshim. Kedushim Heim, that, you know, Klai Yisrael took on themselves and their extra kadosh and everything, and they want to get rid of every crumb. Okay, so it's not that, like, it's a total waste of time, but it's not the halacha. It's clearly not the ikra halacha. It's an extra thing if you have extra time, and it's not going to make you go crazy, and you're not going to lose out in the long run because of it. So then there's Yisrael Kedushim. You know, it says Yisrael Kedushim on a lot of things. If you want to be kadosh, you could also do, you know, you could do a lot of things. But this inyan of going through the whole house with a toothpick, that's not the ikra halacha. That's just Yisrael Kedushim.
Chumrah?
It's a chumrah, yeah. It's not, I wouldn't even say it's a chumrah. It's a beautiful thing to do. But it's not even a chumrah in halacha. A chumrah means that you're mekayim more in the halacha. You're not really fulfilling more in the halacha. It's just that it's a nice thing to do. It shows that you really don't want to have anything to do with it. But it's just you know, an extra inyan. So therefore, you know, if someone says that they have enough time and patience and they'll do it, you know, okay. But otherwise, a lot often doing too much ends up, you know, you lose out on the in the long run. So it's kedai to know what's what and where to do each type of bedika. The part of the idea of, just to end, part of the idea of Pesach is obviously what we say is to be mechanech our children, to teach our children, right? So if and that's at the Seder, but the truth is that the whole process, you know, of getting ready for the Yom Tov is also something that we can we have to teach our children how to prepare. And if the children see that we're resentful about it, you know, oh, I have to, you know, it's crazy, I have another night of this hard work, then that's not a way to teach our children to enjoy the mitzvah. But the way to do it is get everyone involved and give everyone their project and give everyone an opportunity. Everyone, and it becomes something that everyone's part of and we're excited about it and we ourselves don't resent it, then they'll end up enjoying it. And part of the chinuch process is not just the Seder, but it'll be the whole thing, that the kids will end up enjoying it and you know, looking forward to the Yom Tov. You know, I'll admit that when we were growing up, so our family project was that we did spray in the corner of our socks drawer, and we did clean out every single nook and cranny of every single thing in the house. That was my mother's thing, but we enjoyed it because it was like everyone's doing it together, and we spent nights doing it every, you know, from Purim to Pesach every night, like for 2 hours. Everyone in the family would get together. What?
Purim, all the way from Purim.
We sat down and in one kid's room, and we took out every drawer, dumped out the socks, took out the spray, got into every corner of every drawer, you know. But that's, and the point is not the halacha, and you shouldn't do it necessarily if you don't have the strength to do it. But the point is that you definitely shouldn't do it if it's not going to be enjoyable, and people are going to resent it, and it's going to, you're going to lose that on the back end. But you know, so that was the purpose of the shir, is just to know what's the ikra halacha, what you have to do, and limit where you need the toothpick, you know, keep it to the places where you need it, and then Mitzvah Hashem, we'll all be zoichet to a chakosh v'sameach.